नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडेज सेशन। So actually, I had promised that first we will take that question that had come. But then I thought then it will become a habit. So I think probably I think I should be a little bit more disciplined and maybe first stick with the questions at 9 o'clock only. So we will start with the discussion on Bhagavad Gita and move on till 9 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock only we will take the questions. And anyway, Shyamali Mataji and Shyamlal Prabhu, who had asked the question, they have not yet come. So I mean, even before that, I had actually decided that I will first do Bhagavad Gita because I don't want it to become a habit. Then it will basically become a question answer session only, rather than a Bhagavad Gita session. So I don't want it to be like that. I mean, I'm sure you also don't want it to be like that. So if it is okay with most of you, then I think we'll first do Bhagavad Gita, and then towards the end we will definitely take the questions. I hope it's okay with you. Okay, so I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now, and then we will move forward. So if you remember, Bhagavad Gita starts with Dhritarashtra's question, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsava Mamaka Pandavascheva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. So Dhritarashtra is expressing his concern and his anxiety about whether the nature of the place will have an effect on the result of this whole Kurukshetra battle. Actually, he does not want his own sons to actually accept peace treaty, because he had full faith in Bhishma Dev's prowess to actually win the battlefield. So he didn't want to do that. So then Sanjaya replies, Drishtva tu Pandava anekam vyudam Duryodhanastada acharyam upasangamya raja vachanam abravit. So very clearly he indicates that he is addressing Duryodhana as Raja, indicating that he is Raja Niti Nipunam. He is very expert in political diplomacy. He is approaching the Acharya, Dronacharya, to indicate that he is not in a mood to, go for a peace treaty. He is going to fight the battle. Pashyetam Panduputranam Acharya Mahatim Chamum Vyudam Drupadaputrena Tavashishena Dhimata. He is trying to incite anger in Dronacharya, because if Kshatriya is anger, then he will fight. So he says that you see what you have done, such a foolish thing, that you have taught military science to Drushtadyumna, who has taken birth to actually kill you, and this is going to come upon my head. Actually, I am going to be the loser. So he is not really concerned about Dronacharya losing his life. He is all the more concerned about his own losing his kingdom, actually. So then he says that Atra Shura Mahishwasa Bhimarjuna Samayudhi Yuyudano Viratascha Drupadascha Maharata. He describes their army in very glowing words. You know, there are many archers and fighters who are equal in strength to Bhima and Arjuna, Drishtaketu Chekitana Kashirajascha Viryavan Purujit Kunti Bojascha Shaibyascha Narapungava. So like that he describes various different kinds of kings who were there: Yudhamanyu, Uttamaujas, then Abhimanyu, then the sons of Draupadi. All of them, he says, they are Maharatha. And then he realizes that maybe if I keep on glorifying their army, he may feel bad. So he says, Asmakam tu Vishishtaye tan nibodhat Vijottama Nayaka mama sainyasya samgyartam tan bravimite. So he says, even I can tell you that even in our army, there are many people who have, instead of, he wants to tell that who are willing to give their lives to me, but he ends up telling that they have already given up their life to me, indicating that this is like a prediction and a bad omen which he is indicating. Then he says, Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha Kripascha Samitinjaya Ashwatthama Vikarnascha Somodattis Tatevacha. Again, the political diplomacy of Duryodhana we saw last time. First he takes the name of Bhishma, then he takes the no first he takes the name of Dronacharya, and then he takes the name of Bhishma, even though Bhishma was a greater warrior because of the Varnashrama considerations. And then immediately after that, he takes the name of Karna because Bhishma and Karna were, they could not get along well. Then he takes the name of Kripa because he was the brother-in-law of Dronacharya, and Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya. Vikarna, the only brother who had opposed the activities of Duryodhana, because, and he didn't want him to defect the side and go to the other side, because he thought that if he would defect, then the rest of the people may also defect the army. Anyecha bahavaha shura madarte tekta jivita nana shastra praharana sarve yuddha visharadaha. And here he says, actually they have given up their lives already for my sake. Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishmabhirakshitam paryaptam tidamesheetam balam bhimabhirakshitam. So here he says that in double language he speaks that the our army protected by Bhishma is immeasurable. That is that meaning Bhishma is supposed to take and feel inspired. And aparyaptam also means paryapta nahi hai, which means it is inadequate. That is what Dronacharya is expected to understand, and he will think that, okay, so he is indicating that I play a very major role in this battle of Kurukshetra. So the victory depends on me. That's what he's indicating. That's what he's expected to understand. Right? So then he says that Ayaneshu cha sarveshu yatabhagam avasthitaha bhishmamevabhi rakshantu bhavantas sarvayevahi. Actually, all of you, he is thinking that, are, I am talking only about Drona and Bhishma. Maybe the others may get disappointed and thinking that, maybe we don't have a role like that. So he says that actually all of you have to remain in your positions and fight and protect Bhishma, because if you don't protect Bhishma, then we will lose the battlefield. So Bhishma's presence will ensure victory for us, and your properly fighting will only ensure Bhishma's presence. So you all are equally important, like that he is indicating. Tasya Sanjanayan Harsham Kuruvruddha Pitamaha Simmanadam Vinadyochaihi Shankam Dadmuhu Pratapavan. So as soon as Bhishma hears this, in order to not wanting to disappoint Duryodhana, he picks up his conch shell and starts blowing it to give him some joy. And at that point of time, all the Shankha, Bheri, Panava, Gomukha, and all these various kinds of drums and bugles and trumpets, they started sounding, indicating that both the armies are very eager to start the fight. Tatashvetair Hayar Yukte Mahati Sandane Stito Madhava Pandavaschaiva Divyau Shankau Pradadmatuhu. Then at that point of time, Arjuna and Krishna started sounding their divine conch shells. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Paundram Dadma Mahashankam Bhimakarma Vrikodara Ananta Vijayam Raja Kuntiputro Yudhishthira Nakulo Sahadevascha Sugosho Manipushpakau. The conch shells of the five Pandavas and Krishna, their names, it's all mentioned. Then all the other kings, Shikhandi, Kashira, Drishtadyumna, Satyaki, Drupada, and the sons of Draupadi, all of them, they all started sounding their conch shells. Sagosho Dhartarashtranam Hridayani Vidarayat Nabascha Prithivimscheva Tumulo Abhyanunadayan. And then it is mentioned that this tumultuous sound filled the sky and it started breaking the hearts of Dhritarashtra's sons, because, you know, the Shankanada is said to be an auspicious sound, and these people were inauspicious people. So it really, they had taken the side of inauspiciousness, so it was breaking their hearts. Atha vyavasthitan drishtva dhartarashtran kapidvachah pravritte shastra sampate danul udyamma pandava rishikesham tadavakyam idamaha mahipate senayor ubayor madhye ratam sthape me achyuta yavadeta nirikshaham yoddukaman avasthitan kairmaya sahayoddavyam asmin ranasamudyame yotsyamanana vekshaham yayate atra samagata dhartarashtrasya durbuddhe yuddhe priyachikirshava. He says, seeing those who had assembled there, Arjuna picked up his Gandiva bow and told Krishna, Rishikesham tadavakyam idam aham ahipate. He spoke to Krishna and he said, Senayor ubayor madhye ratam sthape me achyuta. O Krishna, please take the chariot in between the two armies. Yavadeta niriksheham yuddhukama navastitan. Because I would like to know who are those people who have assembled on this battlefield with ready to fight. Kairmaya sahayoddavyam asmin ranasamudyame. Who are those people with whom I am going to fight? I want to see. Yotsamanana veksheham yayate atra samagata. Dhartarashtrasya durbuddher yuddhe priyachkirshavaha. I want to see who are those people who have sided with this evil Duryodhana, wanting to help him in this evil, evil-minded, you know, you can say, battle. His endeavors to fight, right? And then he says, Eva mukto rishikesho gudakeshena bharata senayor ubayor madhye sthapayitva ratottamam. When Krishna hears this instruction of Arjuna, Krishna takes the chariot to the middle of the battlefield, and then Bhishma Drona Pramukataha Sarveshamta Mahikshitam Uvacha Partha Pashyetan Samavetan Kuruniti. Exactly knowing what he wanted to do, what he wanted to accomplish, Krishna takes the chariot right in front of Bhishma and Drona and stops there, and he says, Oh Arjuna, you wanted to see the opposing army? See who all I have assembled here. Because he knows the weak point of Arjuna and he wants to incite that kind of family affection, because of which he will refuse to fight, and this can lead to the birth of Bhagavad Gita. So here at this point of time, Krishna is going to cover Arjuna with his curtain of yoga maya, so that the actions of Arjuna should not be understood to indicate his actual qualification. Arjuna is a Nitya Siddha devotee. The kind of doubts and arguments that Arjuna is going to put forth, he is actually, this is not real Arjuna. Here, Arjuna is completely covered by Krishna's Yogamaya potency, and he is acting literally as Krishna wants him to act. So all these arguments questions that he is going to ask indicate sadhakas of different kinds of spiritual practices. Some of these arguments would be the arguments put forth by Sakama Karma Yogis. Some of these arguments would be arguments put forth by Nishkama Karma Yogis. Some of these arguments would be arguments put forth by Jnana Yogis or Ashtanga Yogis or Karma Mishra Bhaktas or Jnana Mishra Bhaktas or Shuddha Bhaktas. So he will actually use one personality, Arjuna. He will take him through these different qualifications and give appropriate actions for people who are actually qualified for those particular practices. But Arjuna, now I'm going to ask you a question. Out of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, in your understanding, I know that all are you have passed Bhakti Shastri for sure. So I am requesting you, out of the 700 verses, in your opinion, how many verses, which are, can you identify some verses of Bhagavad Gita which are applicable for Arjuna? You can raise your hands, I will unmute you. Or let me do something. I will allow you to unmute yourself. You can unmute yourself and speak. Can you tell me of these 700 of the 700 verses of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which are the verses which are meant as an instruction for Arjuna? Anyone? Even if you do not know the verse, you can quote the translation or a rough translation. It's okay. If you don't know the chapter number also, it's fine. No problem. We will try to figure it out. Anyone would like to answer? Think about it and share. Any verse from Bhagavad Gita which you think is an appropriate instruction for Arjuna? Yes, Shyamohan Prabhu.
Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, that one. And Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, that is a direct instruction to Arjuna.
Okay.
Then,
go ahead.
Instrument, that is one directly addressed to Arjuna.
Okay. Then, so, three verses.
Parantapa, that
okay.
is one.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Definitely. So, five verses you have quoted, Prabhu. We are going to evaluate all these five verses. You can stay unmuted. So, the first verse that you quoted was Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. It is not an instruction for Arjuna because Arjuna was already doing that. He was a perfected devotee, he was a Nitya Siddha devotee. He need not be instructed to always remember Krishna. Arjuna was always remembering Krishna. In fact, he could not forget Krishna. So that was not for him. Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja need not be told to Arjuna, because Arjuna was already doing it. He was a perfectly surrendered devotee. So that was not necessary. It was not an essential instruction for him. Then what other verse did you say, Prabhu?
Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam.
Yeah, that's what. Sarvadharman Parityajya is not meant for him because he was already surrendered. What is the third verse that you said?
Nimitta matra bhavya sabhya
sati. Nimitta matram mayete nihatan sarvameva nimitta matram bhava sabhya sachin. I have already killed all of them. Just act as my instrument. So Arjuna was a perfect instrument. He was always acting as an instrument of Krishna only. So that was definitely not an not a verse instruction for Arjuna. In one sense, considering Krishna, Arjuna was a Nitya Siddha devotee. So therefore, what other verse did you quote, Prabhu?
Tyaktvo tishta parantapa.
Yeah. Give up your lethargy, get up and fight, he said. Of course, Arjuna again, that was a situation, external situation created by Krishna so that Arjuna would act and speak in that particular way. But in reality, if that covering of Yogamaya was not there, Arjuna would have understood the desire of Krishna and he would have anyway fought the battlefield. So actually, none of these verses are applicable for Arjuna. Arjuna was a pure devotee. There are some other verses which is suggested here. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Of course, Krishna, Arjuna has, throughout his life, he has been doing that. Whatever he was doing it for pleasure of Krishna only. Right? So the point is that practically none of the verses of Bhagavad Gita are actually applicable to Arjuna. As an instruction, whatever verse is there as an injunction. Of course, not all verses of Bhagavad Gita are in the form of an injunction. There are many verses of Bhagavad Gita which are in the form of descriptive. They are descriptive. they were descriptive, and some of them, many of them are injunctions, but none of those injunctions are meant for Arjuna. One of the in chat box, another thing, both you and I were there before. What is that verse? Natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa nachaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayam ataparam. So this actually is not an injunction at all. This is just a descriptive verse. I am talking about instruction. This is not a verse of instruction. Yeah, someone got it right. There is one verse actually which Krishna spoke to Arjuna, which is actually relevant for Arjuna. Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Oh Arjuna, you go and loudly proclaim that my devotee shall never perish. This you can say is one verse where it is meant as an instruction for Arjuna. Otherwise, no, you know, those, there are some verses which are an instruction for karmadikari, like karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur bur ma te sangosto karmani. Arjuna, please do your duty and not expect fruits in result. Don't be attached to not performing your duty, and so on. Krishna says, of course, Arjuna is not a karmadikari, but he was put in that situation just to teach Bhagavad Gita, relevant sections of Bhagavad Gita for karma yogis. So otherwise, that instruction is not meant for Arjuna, who was a devotee. There are some instructions which are meant for ashtanga yogis, like tapasvibhyo diko yogi gyanibhyopi matodikaha karmibhyascha diko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. So Krishna says, oh Arjuna, an ashtanga yogi is greater than a karma yogi, a tapasvi and a jnana yogi, therefore you should be a ashtanga yogi. This instruction, again, this is not applicable for Arjuna, because Arjuna was a Nitya Siddha pure devotee, but he was under the yoga maya. You know, this was spoken to him. There are instructions for jnana yogis in Bhagavad Gita, which is that tattvavittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajjate. No, not that. That is also a descriptive verse. There is a verse which says that vidwan yuktaha samacharan. There is a verse which says that there are many verses. One of the verses which says that oh Arjuna, even if you think that you are qualified for jnana, lokasangrahamevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi, he says. Even if you think that you are qualified for jnana yoga, to set the right example for others, you should perform your varnashram duties, like that. That is an instruction for a jnana yogi. Again, it is not applicable for Arjuna, because Arjuna was a devotee. Now you may say, there are verses which Shyam Mohan Prabhu rightly quoted. The verse which talks about, you can say, what is that? Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. It's an instruction for a devotee. But it is an instruction for a sadhaka devotee. It is not an instruction for a perfected devotee, because perfected devotee need not be instructed to always remember Krishna. The gopis are trying hard to forget Krishna and they are not able to do that. They need not be told always remember Krishna. Similarly, Arjuna also. So none of the verses which are like injunctions for pure devotees, like Shyam Mohan Prabhu said, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami. That is also not meant for Arjuna, because he had already done that. So, someone quoted, Yat Karoshi, Yat Ashnasi, Yat Juhosi, Dadasi Yat. That, according to Srila Vishnachakadi Thakur, is a verse indicating Karma Mishra Bhakti. So, instruction for Karma Mishra Bhakta. So that also is not applicable for Arjuna. So in one sense, actually, except for this one verse, Kaunteya Pratijanehi Name Bhakta, except for that one verse, actually none of the 700, none of the rest of 699 verses are actually relevant for relevant as an instruction for Arjuna, actually for his spiritual elevation. It was not applicable. So why actually I am discussing this whole thing, that I forgot actually. Can someone help me out here? Why did I bring up this whole topic? Can you please raise your hands? I will unmute you. You can please, or you can unmute yourself and speak. Actually, I have allowed you to unmute yourself. Why did I actually bring out this point? Anyone remembers?
You were trying to say that in the beginning, Arjun is not actually like, he's not in the mood of depression or whatever.
It was created by Krishna.
Yeah, so probably that's why none of the verses are actually, that is not real Arjuna. That is what.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that is not real Arjuna. Real Arjuna is a Nitya Siddha devotee actually. So Bhagavad Gita is not needed for Arjuna. That is why if you see, Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsa Hasudir Bokta Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat. It is mentioned that Sarvopanishado Gavo, all the Upanishads are like cows. Dogda Gopala Nandana, the milkman is Krishna. Partho Vatsaha. You see, Arjuna is compared to the calf. Sudhir Bhokta. And who is the actual beneficiary of that milk of Bhagavad Gita? He says, intelligent people who accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Sudhir Bhokta. Dugdam Gita Amritam Mahat. And the milk is Bhagavad Gita. So actually, the calf is mostly used as a bait or a decoy. One of the teats is given to, of the four teats of the cow, one of the teats is given for the calf to drink, and then when the cow is satisfied that the calf has taken, then he gives milk. So, but in reality, the main beneficiary of the milk, bhokta means enjoyer, is the common man who is willing to accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita is not meant for Arjuna. None of those instructions are meant for Arjuna, because a pure devotee of the Lord, a perfected devotee of the Lord, he does not need instructions actually. Right? So, at this point of time, before we move on to today's discussion, where we are going to start with the first chapter, 26th verse, are there any quick comments, discussion points based on what we have discussed till now?
Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Drawing parallel with Bhagavatam, this incidents where in Bhagavad Gita, where Duryodhan is telling that, O Guru Dronacharya, you have also taught Dhrishtadyumna, who would be your ultimate murderer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, matlab, despite knowing that some harm could be caused from this person to me in future, mm-hmm. still he carried out his duty
mm-hmm.
of being the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can find in Bhagavatam that Bali Maharaj, he was warned, forewarned mm-hmm. by his Guru Shukracharya, that the Brahmana boy is none other than Lord Hari, and he will steal away everything, rob away mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. But still he went ahead despite knowing that harm could come in his way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, similar situation, but the considerations were different. It was a different consideration. Dronacharya's consideration was different. Bali Maharaj was a devotee. Dronacharya was a Brahmana. So his considerations were Brahminical considerations. In the case of Bali Maharaj, it was the consideration of a devotee, that how can I say no to Vishnu? So slightly different considerations, but similar situations, you can say.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Yeah. Anything else anyone would like to share, add, ask before we move on to today's discussion? Okay, so if there is none, then we will move ahead. We'll chant the verse. We'll just hold on for 1 second. Okay. Tatra pashyat stitan parthaha pitran ata pitamahan acharyan matulan bhratran putran pautran sakim stata shvasuran suhridaschaiva senayor upayorapi. Parthaha tatra apashyat stitan. There Arjuna could see, Arjuna saw standing there pitran, his grandfather's, sorry, father's. Fathers here means father figures actually. Ata pitamahan, grandfather figures like Bhishma Dev, Bhurishrava, Acharyan like Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Matulan, maternal uncles, you can say to some extent like Shakuni and others, and also was it Shalva, Shalya, Shalva? There was a maternal uncle of the Pandavas. Bhratrin, brothers, like all the Kauravas were his brothers. Putran, sons, like, what was Duryodhana's son's name? Lakshmana and others. Grandsons were also there. Friends were there. Fathers-in-law and well-wishers. On both sides. On his side also sons like Abhimanyu and Shrutakirti and other sons of Draupadi, they were all there. So, Tan samikshya sakaunteyaha sarvan bandho navastitan kripaya paraya avishto vishidam idam abravit. Saha kaunteyaha, Arjuna kaunteya, Tan avastitan sarvan bandhun samikshya, seeing all his relatives situated there, kripaya paraya vishto, overcome with compassion, vishidan and greatly depressed, idam abravit, he spoke. So, overcome with compassion, he is going to speak now. Okay, so there is not much commentary given here by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and I am not going to discuss the other commentaries. So we will move ahead. So he has become now very much afflicted with compassion and depression. And he is going to, Arjuna is going to present his doubts. Should I fight this battle? So he says, so Arjuna's doubts, he gives various reasons for not wanting to fight. The first reason that he is going to give is compassion. Okay. He says, Drishtve mam swajanan krishna yuyutsum samupastitum sidanti mama gatrani mukamcha parishushyati vepatastha sharire me roma harshascha jayate gandivam sramshate hastat tvakchaiva paridahyate. He says, O Krishna, drishtva iman swajanan, seeing my friends and relatives yuyutsum samupastitum, having assembled here with a desire to fight, sidanti mama gatrani, my limbs are weakening. Mukham cha parishushyati, my mouth is drying up. Vepatuscha sharire me, my body is trembling. Roma harshascha jayate, and my hairs are standing on end. These are all symptoms of intense terror, depression, fear, indecisiveness. All these kinds of conflicting emotions lead to these kind of bodily, involuntary bodily response. These are called as, when this happens as a result of intense spiritual emotions, they are called as ashta sattvika vikaras. These are the symptoms of bhava and prema. There are 8 of them. So there is romancha, where hair standing on end. Gadgada, where the voice chokes up, choking up of voice, and ashru, tears start flowing from eyes, vepatu, trembling of body, and vaivarnya, body becomes very pale. You know, sometimes when you hear a shock, very shocking news of an untimely demise of a very dear relative or friend, suddenly people become very pale. And I am sure all of you are doctors, and so you must have had this experience of, you know, sudden death of, you know, a very near one. The family members, some of them become so pale, petrified, literally, right? So, and mukham cha parishushyati, my mouth is drying up. These are all symptoms of intense emotion. He's going through an emotional roller coaster. So, and gandivam sramsate hastat, his gandiva was slipping from his hands. This gandiva, which actually Arjuna told, anyone who asks me to put my gandiva down, I will kill him. And on one of the days when Karna nearly killed Yudhishthir Maharaj, and Yudhishthir Maharaj was severely wounded and he was lying down. You all know this story. And Arjuna was very much concerned. So he immediately went to the went to that place and to meet Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Yudhishthir Maharaj thought that Arjuna had actually defeated Karna and killed Karna. So he said, "Oh, you have killed Karna?" He said, "No, I came to see you, how you were doing." And Yudhishthir Maharaj was so annoyed that he said, "You know, you should maybe throw away your gandiva," like that he said. And immediately Arjuna became ready to kill Yudhishthir Maharaj. Can you believe his own dear brother? He was willing to kill him. That was how much he was attached to his gandiva bow. I mean, from a very material point of view, I'm telling, right? So then of course Krishna intervened and they found out a solution where he did not have to kill Yudhishthir Maharaj. He just criticized Yudhishthir Maharaj and things like that and insult him. So that gandiva was involuntarily slipping from his hand. That was the intensity of emotions that Arjuna was going through. Deep sense of compassion for them, right? Seeing all these known people, my mouth has dried up. The phrase "as I stand here" should be added at the beginning of the sentence. As I stand here seeing this, my limbs become weak. Sidanti mama gatrani, tvakchaiva paridahyate, my skin is burning literally. Then he says, nacha shaknomya vastatum bramati vachame manah nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. Nacha avastatum shaknomi. You know what? Actually, I cannot stay fixed. My knees are becoming weak, he's telling. My legs are giving in. You know, I'm going to just fall down, it looks like. Brahmati vacha me manaha. And my mind is just whirling. Viparitani nimittani cha pashyami. And I see contrary results in this battle. Oh, Keshava. You know, I don't see any auspicious results from this battle. I am seeing only contrary results. Like that he's telling. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says, Nimitta is used in the sense of end result, just as the goal of money is a good residence. You want to earn good money so that you can purchase a good house. So, which means the nimitta of earning money is actually good residence. Similarly, the nimitta of fighting the battlefield should be enjoying the kingdom, enjoyment. But he says, viparitani nimittani pashyami. Actually, I am seeing contrary results from this. I don't think this is going to be auspicious, and I don't think I should be fighting on this battlefield. I will not get happiness by attending the kingdom if I win the war, but rather will suffer sorrow, which is the opposite results. Because in gaining my kingdom, I will be killing all my relatives and friends and my gurus. Okay, so basically he's expressing a sense of compassion. This is Arjuna's first reason to not fight. Compassion. I don't want to fight because, you know, I'm going to hurt them. Okay. Any quick comments, discussion points based on the last few verses that we have seen? Fairly straightforward, right? When we are just still setting the scene, we have not really gotten into the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Not yet. So, no, it's okay if you don't have any questions. Then he continues. The next reason that he says is, well, where is the enjoyment? Am I going to enjoy? He says, Nacha shreyo no pashyami hatva svajana mahave nakankshe vijayam krishna nacha rajyam sukani cha nacha shreyo no pashyami. Actually, I do not see any good result. Hatva svajana mahave, after killing my own people in the war. Ahave means in the war or in the battlefield. After killing them on the battlefield, I don't see any good result. Na kaankshe vijayam krishna. Oh krishna, I don't desire victory. Na cha rajyam sukani cha. And I don't desire kingdom or happiness, because that happiness will be tainted with the blood of my own relatives, and how can I enjoy it? So like that he is indicating. So there is a question in the chat box. Soft-heartedness of devotees is usually manipulated by others who have recognized this quality in a devotee. How to avoid this? Well, even if they may sometimes, then other soft-hearted devotees will come to rescue that devotee. Right? So one soft-hearted devotee will be very soft-hearted towards others, but he will be all the more soft-hearted towards another devotee's suffering. So if he sees that someone is exploiting that devotee, he will come to his rescue. So that way, you know, as a community, you know, we can still remain soft-hearted at the same time, not allow exploitation. And even if that devotee may be a little bit exploited, but when he does not respond in an unfavorable way, then the person who is exploiting that devotee will get some agyat sukriti, and he will also eventually become a devotee in due course of time. So there is no much loss in that sense, unless if there is a serious cheating that is going on. And for that, the other devotees will come and rescue that devotee. Okay. If there are no further... Yes, Prabhu, Shyam Mohan Prabhu, go ahead.
Roji, there is a shloka in Bhagavatam 1.18.48. Mm-hmm. It says, Tiraskrita vipralabdha
shapta shipta hata api nasyatat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. Yeah. Yes, that is the nature of a devotee.
Very strange verse, very difficult to follow. Do you see any examples nowadays? Is it practical?
Well, we should, one of the things,
you could explain the verse for the benefit of all the members here.
Okay. Tiraskrita means one who is insulted. Vipralabdha means one who is spoken, you know, harsh words.
Cheated.
Sorry, yeah. Vipralabdha, vipralipsa, correct. Cheated. Shapta, one who is cursed. Kshipta means one who is neglected. Right?
Yes, neglected. Yeah.
And hata api, even if one may come to kill a devotee.
Yes.
Tat pratikurvanti. He may not retaliate. Tat bhakta prabhavopi. Not that he is incapable of retaliating. He is very much capable of retaliating. But he will not retaliate. So now, the question is, oh, very strange verse. Is it possible in today's day and age, do someone follow this? Well, we should also know that you know, when Shastras talk about particular qualities and responses by devotees, we should also know at what stage of one's devotional development those qualities develop, actually. So, for example, in Shikshashtakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the third verse says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So, he talks about being more humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, not expecting any respect in return, but giving all respect to others. So, if you see these qualities, you may say, hey, you know, I don't see myself having this quality. I don't see anyone else actually having this quality. So is it possible in today's day and age? Well, one thing is we have not seen all devotees in close quarters. And another thing is in the Shikshashtakam commentary, Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this is the quality. These are the qualities which develop at the stage of Nishta. When Anartha Nivritti is accomplished and when one reaches the stage of Nishta, what is the stage of Nishta? Nishta prayesho badresho nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. When most of the anarthas are destroyed, then one's practice of bhakti becomes very steady. And what is the nature of the stage of Nishta? He says, tada rajastamo bhava kamalobadayasche chetayete ranavittam sthitam sattve prasidati. At this stage, the influence of rajas and tamas is completely gone, or almost completely gone. And there is only sattva. And the nature of sattva is actually tolerance, humility, and respectfulness, and not expecting any respect in return. Otherwise, the opposite of all this is the influence of rajas primarily, to some extent tamas also, right? So there is lack of tolerance, lack of humility, disrespectful in nature, and expecting all sorts of respect, name, fame, glorification. This is all influence of rajogun. So therefore, tiraskrita, vipralabdha, all these things talk about the, you know, tarorapi sahishnuna. Tolerance like a tree, even though it is cut, it will still give shade. Even if a branch is broken, the other branches will give shade. Even if one branch is broken, the other branches will give the flowers and fruits. Right? Even if you cut it, it will act as wood. And even if you transplant it from one place to another place, it will grow and help. So, is it possible? Of course, this is not possible to the extent that is mentioned at when someone has not yet crossed Anartha Nivritti. But at the stage of Nishta, it is possible. So, is it possible in today's day and age? Yes, why not? But we should know at what stage it is possible, actually. So, and the symptoms of Nishta are described in Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says, the first symptom of Nishta, because someone may say, well, look, I may not be at the stage of Prema or Bhava, but at least Nishta, sure, right? 20 years I have been practicing. So, which means at least, you know, Shraddha ek do teen saal aur sadhu sangha to pehle se hi hai aur ek do teen saal pakdo aur bhajana kriya to kitna saal se kar raha hu 20 saal se ho gaya to anartan vritti to hua hoga 5-6 saal mein anartan vritti to abhi to nishta to I mean I should easily be in nishta right at least. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, what are the symptoms of nishta? He says five things. Absence of these five things is the symptom of Nishta. He says first is laya. Laya means feeling sleepy while engaging in any sadhana, hearing, chanting, like that. So absence of laya, this is the first symptom of Nishta. And vikshepa, distraction. While engaged in Krishna conscious activities, we don't feel distracted. This is the second symptom of Nishta. third symptom of nishtha is apratipatti. Apratipatti means there is no momentary loss of taste for practicing devotional activities. So while we are practicing, even there is no occasional lack of taste. Its taste is always there. You know, some eagerness is always there to engage in devotional activities. So laya vikshepa apratipratti kashaya. Kashaya means there is no influence of past bad habits when one reaches the stage of nishtha. And then the fifth is rasaswada. Rasaswada means whenever there is an opportunity for sense gratification, suddenly the eagerness for engagement in Krishna consciousness becomes very weak. This is called as rasaswada. So if you see, these are the five symptoms of nishtha, absence of these five, because these five indicate the influence of rajogun and tamogun. Like laya, sleepiness is influence of tamogun. Vikshepa, distraction is an influence of rajogun. Apratipatti, lack of taste could be an influence of both rajogun or tamogun. Kashaya, past bad habits could be rajoguni bad habits or tamoguni bad habits. It could be either of those. Rasaswada. Whenever there is an opportunity for sense enjoyment, one cannot, that eagerness for engagement in Krishna consciousness is gone. So, if one is free of these five influences, then one has reached the stage of nishtha. So, if one has not endeavored to reach that stage of nishtha, then it is not possible to exhibit these qualities of tolerance like a tree, humility like a blade of grass, not expecting any respect and giving all respect in return. It's in one sense not possible. It's not a question of whether is it possible in today's day and age. The question is, it's not a problem with the age in one sense. It is a problem with what stage of devotional development are we in, and at what stage we can expect the manifestation of these qualities like that. Is that relevant, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, yes, very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, anything else anyone would like to share, add? Okay, there is a follow-up question in the chat box. Arjuna felt compassionate for his own soldiers as well as soldiers of the opposite party due to his soft-heartedness. Prabhupada does say that he was soft-hearted also. In the practical world, we see devotees' soft-heartedness within their side of soldiers, that is devotee community. But when they go to the external world like work, the soft-heartedness may disappear. How should it be cultivated? Well, in one sense, automatically, when one progresses on the path of devotional service, when the influence of rajogun and tamogun subside and the influence of sattvagun becomes more and more prominent, automatically the soft-heartedness will also manifest. So that is the nature of bhakti. Shuddha sattva visheshatma prema suryamshu samya bhak ruchibhis chitta masranya krid asau bhava uchyate. So at the stage of bhava, I mean, this is a description of bhava, but to a smaller degree it happens even before bhava. He says ruchibhis chitta masranya krid. At the stage of bhava, the heart becomes very, very, very soft and pliable due to the eagerness to meet Krishna, establish a relationship with Krishna, and due to his, the anarthas also make the heart hard. When the anartha nivritti is accomplished, naturally the heart becomes very soft and pliable, right? Shravana kirtana jale kareye shechan. The heart is compared to a land. And the seed of bhakti is compared to a seed. And Shravan and Kirtan are compared to the watering, the process of watering the land. when you water the land, the hard land becomes automatically soft when sufficient water falls on it. So the easiest way to do it is actually engage in the limbs of devotional service. And as and when we do that, when the water of Shravan Kirtan keeps falling on the hard heart, it slowly it becomes softer and softer. Like that. Okay. So, if there are no... Yes, Shamon, bro.
Sorry, Prujin, can I ask something?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Prujin, Chaitanya Bhagavat, I read at places that sometimes the devotees would feel angry at those who were envious or blasphemous.
Mm-hmm.
And they would also sometimes wish that they perpetually, such people perpetually remain in darkness of hell or remain punished.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that when there was a procession being led by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the house of Chand Kazi, the people in the procession were chanting, death to the Kazi, death to the Kazi.
Mm.
Sometimes they even wished such harsh things also despite being devotees. So, how was that? This is okay in the procession. People, sometimes general people also, sometimes denizens of the higher lokas, they may be participating, or maybe the general public.
Mm-hmm.
But even the those in the inner circles of Mahaprabhu and Acharya.
Advaita Acharya.
Even their associates also would sometimes feel like that.
Yeah,
those who are blasphemous and envious, they be
correct.
How punished? So why that?
Why that? Good question. So here, if you try to probe what is a presumption at the bottom of this question, the presumption at the bottom of this question is actually death is bad. But this is not true. Sometimes death is good, because if he lives, he will continue to blaspheme more and more and accumulate more and more bad karma, and he will go to a hellish situation. So therefore, to wish death for a person who is continuously accumulating more and more bad karma is actually an act of compassion for one who understands the nature of death, nature of Vaishnava Aparad, and nature of causing harm to Vaishnavas. So therefore, wishing death is not necessarily an non-compassionate act. Of course, there could be multiple levels at which this can be discussed, but a very basic level, I'm answering this question for you. Is that relevant, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, of course, we could discuss it at the level of rasa also, but at this stage, I don't wish to do that. At this level, at this level, only we can understand that, it is wishing death for someone. You know, there is this verse, right? Rajaputra, Jivova, Marova. Anyone knows that verse?
That story, not the verse, but the story we have heard.
Which story, bro?
This four kinds of people.
Yeah, so he said you either live or die or like that. So that is there, Rajaputra, Jivova, Marova. And the butcher, he says, neither live nor die. Because if you live also, you are living hellish life. If you die also, you will have to go and suffer hell. So if you are wishing someone death, it is not necessarily actually an act of, it's not necessarily an uncompassionate act like that. Okay, so I think we will pause here because it's 9 o'clock, and I did not start the discussion with the question that came up last week because I was afraid that it will become a habit that every time we may take miscellaneous questions and probably the subject matter may not be covered. So I refrained from doing that. Now that it's 9 o'clock, I think now we can take the question. So is that okay? Shyamlal Prabhu, Shyamli Mataji, is that fine?
Yes, Prabhuji, it's okay now.
Yeah. Okay, so can you repeat the question, Prabhu, Mataji? Or...
The question was that there is a common understanding that the Mahabharata is for living life and Bhagavatam is meant to understand the science of leaving. So Mahabharata is to help you live on whatever principles. And Bhagavatam is all about how to leave the body. So,
okay.
How?
So, thank you, bro.
Where do we place the Bhagavad Gita then?
Okay. Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata only.
Mahabharata. Okay.
So, at this point of time, I would choose to, I'm going to stop the recording and go off records. I don't want to record this because I don't want to get into trouble. So I will pause it and then I will answer the question. Okay. I hope you won't mind. I'm not pausing. I'm